Hello, everybody. This is Blake Ruby from San Antonio, Texas. How are you doing? I'm doing okay. I'm staying alive. That's one of my songs that I know. I have a repertoire of about over 100 songs that I've learned over the years. And I am a karaoke DJ. And I go to the Wounded Warriors. It's been 3 months. I missed March. I missed February and January. The last time I was over there was in December, but I'm doing these new duties at work, working on a tasking team, and it's been taking all my time. I'm in training, and so, but I still sing. I sing with my choir at church, the chapel on Lackland Air Force Base, and the gospel choir. And one song I just sang a little while ago is I love to sing. Is Staying Alive by the Bee Gees. You know that song? Well, you can tell by the way I use my walk. I'm a woman's man. No time for talk. Music loud and women warm. I've been kicked around since I was born. Well, it's all right. I'm okay. You may look the other way. We can try to understand. New York Times affect our man. Whether you're a brother or whether you're a mother, you're staying alive. Staying alive. Feel the city breaking and everybody shaking and we're staying alive, staying alive. Staying alive, staying alive. Anyway, well, let me tell you, here in San Antonio, in my backyard, and there's a huge field behind my backyard, I was picking up the dog waste, shall we say, this morning, because they cut our grass a little while ago. There was a dead rattlesnake, and it was about 12 to 15 inches long, but it was cut in two pieces. And we have dogs. One of our dogs must have killed it with its toenails. And so this is the fifth rattlesnake we had in our yard, either front or backyard. But we had one in the garage, too, a baby rattlesnake. We had two that were about maybe 3 feet long. I know there's a lot of rattlesnakes out there in the field behind our backyard. Big ones, too. Anyway, so life has been good for me recently since my last show 2 weeks ago, and it's fun. This is really fun to talk about things that you're passionate about. Just for a whole hour, I have all that time to talk about subjects of interest to me and that I'd like to share with you, the listening audience out there, and I know that there's a lot of people that listen to CBS Radio. I've listened to some of the other channels. I plan on listening again in the future. Anyway, to begin with, I think I'm going to... I said in my last show I was going to talk about this planet that's out there in our Milky Way galaxy that belongs to a race of extraterrestrials that are technologically and spiritually one of the three most advanced in our Milky Way galaxy, and they're hermaphrodite, approximately 9 feet tall, and human being, you know, like, when I say hermaphrodite, they're kind of like transgender, if you will. I'm not sure how they reproduce, but I learned about them in a book called Abduction to the Ninth Planet. That was one of the most interesting books I've ever read in my life, and I've read it several times since. The author is a man by the name of Michael Desmarquette. He claims he was abducted, or they called it an unsolicited visitation, taken aboard their spaceship, which was circular, round, in other words, about 70 meters in diameter, and taken to their planet somewhere in the Milky Way galaxy, maybe, I don't know, close or far from here, from our solar system. But even if somebody read that book and said, well, that's science fiction, still, the way an author writes a book, and, you know, I think I'm a pretty good judge of a person's character, their honesty, their personality, if what they're saying makes sense, if they sound very intelligent, you know, if they're trying to fool me with some stuff. And I can pick up a book and start reading it and say, I don't want to read that anymore. But this stuff that I read, this book that I read, it had some really interesting information in there about the universe we live in, life out there, the possibility of life out there, because we haven't proven it, right? But I think we're stuck in a gap, my friends, right now. You remember back in Columbus days, they thought the world was flat. People would say, the world is flat. I'm telling you, you go across the ocean there, you're going to fall off. And that was the frame of mind of people back then. Isn't that amazing? People like you and me, human beings that lived back then, like we're living now, thought that the world was flat. Or around Copernicus' time, not too much longer after that, you know, in the 1500s, they said, yeah, the world is in the center of the universe. The whole universe revolves around the Earth, you know. That was what they thought of. They thought that was the truth. So there's a lot of things I believe we need to understand in our universe that we don't know hardly anything about. We have knowledge like the tip of an iceberg when it comes to what's out there. I believe there's billions and possibly trillions. I mean, I really do believe. I know there are trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of extraterrestrial beings out there. And I'd like to talk about this one planet, Thiuba, where this man was taken to. And in my last show, I mentioned about the different categories of planets throughout the universe. And my friends, we're dealing with a creator who is capable of making anything. It's like magic, for lack of a better way of describing it. We're talking about a planet maker. We're talking about a sun maker, a body maker, maker of... Think of all the insects here on Earth. There's over a million types. All little bodies with eyes and some with wings. And tiny little metabolisms and capable of reproduction and, you know, eating food and drinking water. Amazing. There's a body maker. The body maker creator is absolutely awesome. And logically, you would have to agree that this has been going on for many, many years, even before the Milky Way galaxy came into existence, right? Make sense? So, I know, I don't believe, I've bridged that gap between belief and knowledge that there is life out there, because I don't need proof like a spaceship landing in the White House. You know what would happen? Just like in that movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still. People would shoot and then ask questions later. You know, they showed up. And that's why they haven't shown up, you know, and really exposed themselves, other than the times that you hear about people having contact with extraterrestrials, seeing UFOs. Well, it's different. Because, let me ask you, if you were, like, take the movie Avatar. If you were an indigenous species, like a native species, like the Na'vi, in the movie Avatar, right? With the blue bodies, all, you know. Remember that movie? I'm sure most people have seen it, right? Because that's like the highest grossing movie in the history of the movie-making industry. So these humans from Earth show up and they're mining this mineral. They want to get this mineral called unobtainium, which is a very valuable mineral. So the Na'vi, all they have to protect themselves are like bows and arrows. So think, you know, if you were like a species that was making contact with a lower evolved species, and all of a sudden they started firing at you, you know, with bows and arrows, or maybe like in this case, I mean, or our case here on Earth, maybe with guns or missiles, whatever. Would you really want to meet them if they were firing at you? You know, that's the mentality we have here. So I don't blame them for really not wanting to make contact, because we can be really unintelligent, for lack of a better way of saying it, you know. But think back upon 2,000 years ago, the civilizations we had here on Earth, the Egyptians, the Incas, the Mayans, there's all evidence of, a lot of evidence of extraterrestrial contact back then. You know the book, Eric von Daniken's Chariot of the Gods? That's an excellent book if you haven't read it, because it talks about the times that extraterrestrials probably were here and made contact with these ancient civilizations. Think about the pyramids, if you will, my friends, how tall they were. Now, logically, I think everyone would agree, anyone with half a brain would agree that you could not make a pyramid like that, those precise details, with just wood, boards, and rope, and manpower pulling those, you know, like 2 or 3 ton blocks up on top of each other, all the way up 500 feet above the ground. And I've seen some shows on the History Network, and I forget where else, where it suggests that these ancient civilizations had contact with extraterrestrials who shared their technology with them, anti-gravity, electromagnetic beams, which when focused on a particular object would cause the object to gravitate, to lift up into the air, because the gravity all of a sudden was removed from it. And then they would point it, just like with a tractor beam in Star Trek, hello Star Trek, you know, wherever they wanted it to go. And then once they had it to where they wanted it to be, they would cut the anti-gravity beam and they would, you know, go into place and so on. Anyway, so there are these beings from Thayuba, the hermaphrodites, very, very extremely, extremely intelligent, who have been monitoring Earth for thousands of years and who have intervened in our past at times in coordination with the Creator. I mean, I say the Creator, the creator of this world. And I believe in co-creator gods of solar systems and galaxies, because the creator of the whole universe is male and female. The supreme creator who initiated the Big Bang, and then with the great central sun of the universe and that first solar system forming, and other solar systems subsequently, and then other galaxies when a certain amount of solar systems were created. I suppose a galaxy can only have so many solar systems in it. And so the universe expanded and continues to expand, and we're in a spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy. So it was the Supreme Creator's wish in the very beginning, before the Big Bang, to grow and to expand and to feel feelings through other individuals like ourselves. We're like microcosms of the Creator, if you will, who is a huge spiritual mass energy that is a part of everything. It belongs to everything here in the universe, to include our world, everything that's been made, that came from nothing into something, all belongs really to the original creator. But you have co-creator gods of solar systems and galaxies who reside on the sun, which is a world of light, right? And we have a spirit in our body, a soul too, which is like a brain of light. And the spirit is made of light energy, and the spirit can live in the fire, my friends. of spirit. If you believe you can die, if you think you can die, then you know there's more to this life than just, you know, it stopping and then nothingness after that. We are going to continue to exist when we die from this world. And by the way, I love to, this is a subject I'm very passionate about. I can talk for hours on this. And if any of you out there, and I have a book, you know, it's called The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul. That's the name of this radio show. If you know anybody that wants to pay for me to come and talk, I'll be more than glad to. I'm a Toastmaster, and I know how to talk to a lot of people. And so I'll be willing to share my beliefs to anybody who would want to listen to me. So if you know anybody, or if you yourself want me to come and talk, I would be more than happy to. And you can get in touch with me at this email address, Blake, B-L-A-K-E, dot R-U-B-I, at ATT.net. Going back to what I was saying, so I was looking on the internet the other day about people that don't believe in the resurrection. And I was reading some of the comments that people were making, and it occurred to me, wow, some people are really like young souls, if you will. There's no proof, really, who is an advanced soul or who is a young soul or maybe intermediate soul, but some of the things that people say, you know, we are all souls. Really, that's who we are, and we're equal on that level, but there are other souls that are well-traveled souls that have lived many lives, past lives. When you understand the process of reincarnation, then you can understand the part of the plan that God, the original supreme creator of the universe, had, where we would grow and expand. That we can't do it all in one lifetime, my friends. It has to keep on going. We take with us from Earth, from this world, all of our experiences, all of our memories, the good that we've done, and we take that to the next existence, and we live in that spirit world, and then we reincarnate again. And hopefully we can leave this world with more light in our spirits than when we first came here. That is our goal, and I've talked about this in other radio shows. Your spirit shines like a light bulb. And the purpose of why we're here on Earth is to develop ourselves spiritually. And in order to do that, you have to seek spiritual matters and seek spiritual knowledge. Let me rephrase, not seek spiritual matters, but seek spiritual knowledge. Evolve. Because really, nothing else matters. Not the job, not the family, not the food you eat, not the fun that you have. Spirituality is what it's all about. Because that is why we're here. We have a mission to fulfill. We were given a mission by our creator. And when I say that, I mean the spirit mother and father in heaven, who, by a process of merging their spirits, create souls and spirits in the spirit world. There's so much There's so much to say about that. But let me go back to the resurrection. And I think it's appropriate because tomorrow being Easter, I wanted to share with you what I think happened all those years ago. And really, there's a lot more, I think, to what happened than what the Bible says. And I don't want to shake anybody's faith, but I want to seek the truth myself, and I hope you're trying to seek the truth also. Instead of being someone who just follows what you're told, believes in what other people tell you. So let me go back to what I was saying in regard to the extraterrestrials in Thaya Uba. They have been monitoring our civilization for thousands of years. They've been given the responsibility to look after our world. And they have intervened at times in the past. And I believe a lot of what happened in regard to divine intervention was, and it's in that book by Eric von Däniken also, Chariots of the Gods, is related to an invisible God who talks through people, and these people write down what they think God says. Even the voice of God, they say, they heard. If you believe that, that's fine. It's up to you. But in my opinion, and we're all entitled to our opinions, right? This is America. We all have free speech. We want to seek the truth, do we not? That's not so much that you can't handle the truth. It's you just don't want to know the truth. You're content with what you know, whether it's the truth or not. So, Moses parting the Red Sea, all those things that happened, you know, the River Nile turning red, the plagues, the locusts, the hailstorm, all that. It wasn't God, per se. God doesn't work that way. The Creator. And when I say Creator, I've got it straight in my mind what I mean. You can mean either the Spirit Father or the Spirit Mother or both of them. You could mean the Supreme Creator of the universe. You can call him or her God. And there is a Mother God, you know, because you can't have a Father. And the Bible talks about Father all the time, Father this, Father that. I hear it, we say prayers at church, Father, Father this. Logically, you can't have a Father without a Mother. The word Father, let me see if I can remember the exact what Webster's Dictionary says about Father. A male genetic contributor to the creation of a child, which means that there also has to be a female contributor. Am I right? Or you persist in not seeking the truth, that's fine. I'll continue. So, there is a Mother God. And me being a man, I'll tell you one thing, and I know the Father God is a man, probably the quintessential man, beautiful, powerful spirit. Would not any man out there not want a woman by his side? Hey, I mean, come on. Who wouldn't want, what man does not want a woman by his side? Logical? What am I going up against here? I mean, illogic? Logic? Illogical? Anyway, so these extraterrestrials, the Thaya Uba, the planet Thaya Uba, it is a beautiful world. It's a category 9 on a scale of 1 to 9, whereas Earth is a category 1, which means the lowest on the evolutionary scale, and and theirs is a planet category 9, which means the highest on the evolutionary scale. If you look inside their world, you will see just like heaven almost. It's as close to heaven as you can get in the material physical universe. You have just colors are more intense. I mean, the colors are so intense that if you didn't wear like a helmet or visors to cut the glare of the intensity of the colors and the atmosphere, we could go blind. Someone like us, right, living here on Earth. The gravity is different, of course. I think it's like 70% of what it is here on Earth. The waters are pristine. There is no pollution. There is no killing there, obviously. They're very, very, very intelligent. They adore each other. They love each other. You know, they recognize each other for wonderful creations. We have hearts that are beating independently of their wills. Brains that function optimally, you know, lungs that purify the blood, thousands of miles of veins running through the body. Why do they want to kill each other, you know? The problem is that, like I said, we're not the people that get carried away, and it's about money also, but they're not fulfilling their God-given mission here on Earth to develop themselves spiritually. We're supposed to be working towards the Supreme Creator's objective goal to expand and grow the universe. Reproduction is one way of doing it, but also with our mouth, we can either create or destroy. You can say good things, or you can say bad things. The choice is up to you. But believe me when I say, it's like with prayer, what you say, what you speak, the words that you speak, do have an effect on the way things are. The way things are, they can change. You can change things with your words, like with prayer. It's an amazing process, my friends. When you speak a word, ask somebody who can't speak, somebody who's mute, deaf or blind. It's an amazing process of how the brain impulses activate the larynx, work in synchronization and coordination with the larynx and the tongue, and the words are produced. But more than that, you know, in the Bible it says, and I'm a very firm believer in the Bible. I don't believe everything, but I think it's one of the greatest accounts of divine intervention. It relates the divine intervention that happened here on Earth in a way that no other book has before. And that is significant because we haven't had any divine intervention in a long time on that scale, right? With what happened to Moses and then Jesus. So, and I've said this before in another radio show last year, but I'm going to talk about the resurrection. Some people don't believe in the resurrection. And already, look, 6:30, 30 minutes have gone by. Time flies. Woo! So, approximately 2,000 years ago, before Jesus the Bethlehem was born, the world was in a sorry state of affairs, for lack of a better way of describing it. There was a lot of evil going on. Sexual immorality, bestiality, killing, rape, anything bad that you could think of was going on there on a scale that had never happened before. And so the Spirit Mother and Father in heaven looked down upon this and said, the time is ripe for divine intervention. So since they work in coordination with these extraterrestrial beings from the planet Thyuba, hey, this could be true. It is true. They came up with a plan. And the first part of the plan was for the baby Jesus to be born in Bethlehem. So, as the Bible says, that the Archangel Gabriel appeared before the Virgin Mary. Well, could have been these extraterrestrials have a way of showing themselves. I mean, I haven't seen the Archangel Gabriel. Why couldn't he appear before me right now if I wanted him to? He does. I asked him to at church to show up. And I feel my hair kind of lifting, you know, the back of my neck, I get goosebumps. I talked about in my last show how when I go to heaven, I want to be taken in Archangel Gabriel's chariot. But you know that these extraterrestrials, they have the power and the ability to show themselves to other beings in ways that would impress them as if to think that they were gods or angels themselves. Enough said about that. So the Virgin Mary became pregnant, right? Now, you may not know too much or have given too much thought about how that process worked. You think, oh, well, God could do anything, but you never thought, not even a tip of the iceberg, so to speak, as far as details are concerned, regarding what actually happened, how that sperm united with the egg and she became pregnant. But you think God did it? No, God didn't work that way. Everything happens in order, in an orderly process. Here in the material universe, there is no magic. Everything works in accordance with nature. So she was artificially inseminated by these extraterrestrials. And some people might say blasphemy. Well, Jesus, they used to say that to Jesus too. And he said, well, I'm the king of blasphemy. I mean, so, and when he was born in that manger in Bethlehem, the extraterrestrial probe that they sent illuminated the birthplace of Jesus. And again, that's another thing you haven't given too much thought about. You say, well, it was a heavenly body or a planetary body. Well, my friends, let me tell you something. Planetary bodies in motion can't stop, can't stand still over a particular location. They have to keep moving. So this all makes sense what I'm saying. If you are seeking the truth and want to know the truth, because you one day will be a co-creator God also. And I know that we'll see each other one day in heaven and you'll walk up to me and say, hey, you had a radio show on PBS Radio and I listened to your show and oh, what you said was so true. Thank you. Thank you for helping to illuminate my life, helping my spirit to become brighter. So anyway, Jesus in Bethlehem was born. However, because when a baby is born here on earth, the soul and the spirit crosses what is known as the river of oblivion, which means all the memories of the pre-existence, past lives are wiped out. Yes, we existed before coming here. Don't you remember when you were born? Why don't you remember? What about before that? You say you're going to go to heaven after you die? Well, you came from heaven. The idea, the object is to get back to heaven, my friend. That's the challenge. Because you have ghosts walking this earth and people who go down to God's jail underneath the earth's surface around the center where there's lava beds and all kinds of horrors waiting for those who do things like murder, rape, sexual abuse, first physical abuse, verbal abuse. But anyway, so Jesus of Bethlehem was an advanced soul. We know that. I know that. But he didn't have the knowledge capable of performing miracles because he crossed the river of oblivion and lost that knowledge. So at age 12, he left the area and traveled to Burma, China, and eventually wound up in Japan, in a place called Shingo. Check out the internet. And there he married, had children, and died of natural causes at the age of 106 years old. Read it in the internet. But that was the first half of the plan. The second half was for this one being that was living on Thayaumba, that beautiful, bright, highly evolved planet in our Milky Way galaxy where I'd like to go to someday. Maybe when I leave here, can you jump from a planet of a Category 1 to a Category 9? It's possible, I believe, because it all depends on how advanced a soul you are. What about you out there? Are you an advanced soul or a young soul? Who are you? Advanced souls develop themselves spiritually. They do what the Spirit, Mother, and Father, what the Supreme Creative Universe wants you to do. That is to make the world a better place, develop yourself spiritually, and evolve. Evolve to the next highest level, my friend. There's so many planets out there for you to be born into after this planet. It all depends on what you do. It's like a university. It's planet that we live in, the University of the Universe. You like that? University of the Universe? It's all about a school, about being kind to each other, saying good words. In the beginning was the Word. I was going to say that before, like it says in the Bible. And the Word was with God, and God was the Word. That's how things are created. That's how our spirits and souls were created. The Spirit, Mother, and Father in heaven, they are soulmates. So what they want to create, whether it is a spirit or a soul, or maybe a planet, or at the very beginning when they created their sun and then the other planets for their own solar system, like you're going to have one day, they merge their spirits. They become one. And then they think and say the same words, you know, like Jinx, but with the intention of creating things. So when you've heard what that sounds like when people say the same things at the same time, there's a process, there is an underlying, I'm trying to think of a better way of putting it. There is a process, I guess, without wasting too much time trying to think of the right word. The process is that with this synchronization of words, things come into existence, like with the Supreme Creator at the beginning of the universe, with the Big Bang. The words were spoken and everything began forming. First solar system, you know, the sun and the other planets and so on. So anyway, on the planet Fayaouba, approximately 2,000 years ago, was a well-traveled soul by the name of Arioch, A-A-R-I-O-T. And so it was asked if he would come to Earth to help save the people of Earth. Indeed, the Jesus who died on the cross had a mission, and that was not to condemn the world, but to save it. So let me take you back to the movie Avatar. Remember those blue bodies? Right? They created some blue bodies, and then Sigourney Weaver, and I forget the name of the other actor, they put their astral bodies, if you will, into those blue bodies and then drove them like cars inside. They were aware, and they mingled with the Nabis, the native species. They were able to, you know, use these bodies perfectly. So what did you think that what went inside these blue bodies? Their spirit, right? Or their astral body? Well, the same thing, these bodies that were created that resembled the Nabis, there is, on this planet, a group of, like, elders, very, very wise, beautiful spiritual beings that can create human bodies. So it shouldn't be too hard to imagine. I just explained to you about Avatar and that same process. So, that Arioch I was telling you about came to Earth in a human body, a very wise, advanced soul inside a human body. And unlike the Jesus that was born in Bethlehem, he had the spiritual knowledge to perform miracles. But not by himself, but also with technology, because up above he had a spaceship. The spaceship from the planet Fayaouba, available there to help him when he needed help. So whether it was turning water into wine, very simple process of matter transformation from the spacecraft up above, electromagnetic beams, matter transformation. We're not there yet, almost. just like in Star Trek, you know, when they turn those little stuff, they put in like a microwave and it becomes a meal. The same process, my friend. And on the Sermon on the Mount, turning the bread and the fish into multiple pieces of bread and fish, matter transformation in the spaceship up above. Lazarus, bringing him back from the dead. Well, simple matter of beaming down at night, administering a drug to reduce the heartbeat to what appeared as if he was dead, but still alive, unbeknownst to the people at that time. And then, after he was put into the grave, still alive, beaming back down into the grave, administering a chemical to bring him, to rejuvenate him. And then Jesus called him forth, and he came forth, thus making it look like Jesus had performed an incredible miracle, which he had, but still, knowledge and technology. Technology like you haven't thought about before. When Jesus walked on the water, the tractor beam, and the spaceship up above. Well, how'd you think he did? Can you tell me the details? It's not fantasy, it's reality. And so, Jesus performed these miracles, all of them, over that period of time. And the purpose of that was to gain the faith of the people, and so that what he did would be recognized for centuries out into the future, way, way into the future, like now, 2,000 years later, we're still talking about Jesus and everything that happened. And tomorrow at church, I'm going to church because I like to be with believers, even if they maybe are narrow-sighted in what they believe. They don't care. Some people are young souls. I recognize that. Some people don't want to know anymore. Some people don't want to know the truth. But then the plan was for him to die on the cross. And I believe that Jesus asked Judas to betray him, because it had to happen that he'd die. Everything else doesn't matter when you think that he had to die on the cross in order to come back to life. If you want to think that he died on the cross to forgive you for your sins, well, you can think that. It depends if you have a relationship with your creator, your creators, I'll say creator, your spirit mother and father in heaven. If you have a relationship with the supreme creator of the universe, do you need an intermediary? We're all children of God. That's why I don't believe in John 3:16. God gave us his only begotten son. We are all children of God. We're all sons and daughters. God doesn't have an only son. But really, my friends, I'm more Christian than any other religion, you know. But I don't condemn or say anything, don't want to say anything bad about any religion. I just think that they're all stepping stones. It's good to believe in a creator. I think most of them do. But then not to believe in a creator. But getting back to Jesus, so yes, he died on the cross. He endured all that pain. But he knew that he would come back to life. And how'd they do it? Well, once they put him inside the tomb, it was a simple process with their technology, a la Star Trek, of beaming into the tomb and taking his body, his battered body, back to the spaceship. And just like an Avatar, making repairs to the body. And then his astral body slipped, Ariok's astral body slipped back into the repaired body. And he reappeared to the disciples, to other people. How long was it for? 40 days. Thereby proving, my friends, not so much purifying us or forgiving us for our sins. You can believe that if you want to believe that, you can. But proving that God is real by coming back to life, by being dead, and then being brought back to life, that there is something incredible going on here that we only know very little about. We only know very little about. And then the ascension into heaven, which is really another tractor beam from the spacecraft, lifting him up beyond the clouds. They couldn't see beyond the clouds where the spaceship was. And that's the end of the story as far as the resurrection is concerned. Did it happen? Yes. He was dead. His heart stopped beating. But the extraterrestrials from Thyuba recovered the body, prepared it. Just like an avatar, the spirit and soul of Arioch went back into the repaired body and walked among them 40 days. Oh, it must have been cool to see their faces the first time. Wouldn't that have been something? Especially, I think it was Mary and or Mary Magdalene that saw him for the first time. That would have been worth to have done it myself. It would be worth the pain that was suffered on the cross. And if, my friends, there are worlds out there like the way we were 2,000 years ago, I just know it. I know it. Would you volunteer for a mission like that if what I said is true and you had that chance, that opportunity? Would you do something like that? Because there's, my friends, an incredible, incredible, extremely, extremely intelligent God out there, Creator. And there are extraterrestrial beings also who are very, 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 very intelligent, so much more than we are, that they've been in existence millions of years longer than us because their galaxies were created even before our Milky Way galaxy was created. Is that hard to understand? So I'm almost out of time here. I just want to give some shout-outs to some people. My son, Bryce, I love him very much. He's an actor in L.A. trying to be famous. I pray that God will bless him and keep him safe and well. Also, Soundfield Work, J.B., Mr. Abney, Miss Perkins, my stepdaughter, Kathy, in Japan. Shout-out to my wife, who is traveling back to Philadelphia. She's been gone for a week. And so, help me out here, my friend, listening. If what you think, to what you have heard me talk about, appealing to you, and I'm a 63-year-old man, I started developing myself spiritually in earnest, that is, back in the early 90s. You might say I'm born again. It all happened in 1988 when I gave up drinking alcohol. My parents were alcoholics. And I grew up in a secondhand smoke environment. But I think born again also means kind of finding your way back on the path, like the Creator, Spirit Father, or the Spirit Mother, or both of them, given mission. That mission they gave you to perform. So please, I ask you to develop yourself spiritually. Develop that light that's inside your spirit. Increase its intensity, because one day when you stand before your Creator, or should I say your Creators, your Spirit Mother and your Spirit Father, and Jesus will be there. Jesus, who died on the cross. Maybe Jesus from Bethlehem will be there. There's a lot of people that have lived here on earth, small cultures up there in heaven. It's going to be a grand time. and there's going to be feasts and banquets, and happiness, joy, no pain, no bodily functions, a beautiful, beautiful world, a world of light. That's what heaven is. Where do you think the world of light is? A world of light. Where is the only world of light that you know of around here? Wake up. Wake up, people. Back in the old days, there were some ancient civilizations. Well, back in the past, there were some ancient civilizations that worshiped the sun. Why don't we do that? We just take it for granted, don't we? But it works like, I mean, it's been doing beautifully for millions of years. Hasn't it? Like clockwork, hasn't failed, right? Not man-made. Anyway, I'm almost out of time, so let me say a prayer. I hope I didn't confuse anybody. Let me just reiterate one thing before I go. There is the supreme creator of the universe initiating the Big Bang. And it was the supreme creator's plan to expand and grow. You know about growth, don't you? What do you know about growth, my friends? I know you know a lot. I see people, beautiful people all the time. I love people. Whether they're young souls or advanced souls, it doesn't matter. They're all on their soul journey. And so the supreme creator had a plan to expand the universe by solar system after solar system and galaxy after galaxy. And here we are in spiraling Milky Way galaxy. And part of that plan was for co-creator God. One day you will be co-creator God, and you will have your own sun, your own solar system, and your own spirit children. You will create all of them, millions of them, just like here on Earth. How many? 6 billion people living here on Earth. They were all created by the Spirit Mother and Spirit Father. You can call them either one or the other, or you can also call them God, because when they do that creation process, they are as one. Like male and female, like the Supreme Creator, both male and female. And Jesus is there in heaven, and angels all over the place, and then there's the fruit of life, and the river of life, and there's all kinds of activities and lectures and concerts, music going on. It's like a cruise ship, if you will, for lack of a better way of describing it. But anyway, here's a prayer, quick prayer. Dear Supreme Creator, thank you for the miracles of all creation. I love you. You're such an awesome creator. And we want to praise you because praise is what you want. Praise is like love. It's the ultimate form of love. And we need to praise each other more, just like we praise you, Supreme Creator. When I look up into the night sky and see the suns up there, not really stars, I think about you and how great you are. When I think about all the different planets that are out there, I think how great you are. And your great plan to expand the universe. And so the very edges of the universe are still expanding, my friends, to infinity, for eternity. The miracles of creation, space, dark energy, dark matter, are all manufactured so light can proliferate throughout the darkness, my friends. That's why we have half a day of darkness and half a day of light. So, Spirit Mother and Father in Heaven, thank you for all that you do. I love you. Please bless us. Bless us, everyone. All your children here on Earth. Don't leave out anybody. I mean everybody. Every single one of your children. Please bless us and help us. Help us to evolve and develop ourselves spiritually. I love you, everyone. I'll talk with you. I'll have my next show in 2 weeks. Until then, take care and goodbye.